Welcome back to episode 20 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. Today, the real talking point of the episode is Callum's season opener, racing the Penn Relays Mile in Philadelphia, as well as launching his new YouTube channel. Currently sitting at 403 subscribers, so I'm not too worried just yet. It's just the two of us tonight because Tom is on dad duties, but we've got the usual running news, listeners' questions, and questionable running banter. Callum, welcome back to the UK. How are you doing after your quick trip stateside?
I'm all good, Ben. I'm all good. It's a shame we can't speak to Tom as well tonight, but no, good to be here. And yeah, good to see you running as well. I know we're recording this pretty late in the week, so it's not in this episode that you recently did a race, but you know, at least you've done a race recently, so that's good.
I have indeed, yeah. My run has been going well post Boston Marathon. Legs are sort of coming back. They came back pretty quickly, actually, compared to normal, which is, I'm not quite sure why. I think maybe something to do with the shoes, or maybe my fueling was a little bit better. But yeah, after about a week of no running, legs came back pretty good. So I've been able to resume training pretty quickly, which has been always nice post race.
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's one of those things where it's important to have a balance, isn't it, between like giving your body the rest that it needs, but also, especially because running is your job, like it's important that you actually make sure you can still do your job, if you see what I mean, and get out running and testing shoes and making content and, you know, meeting most of the people you meet is through running, isn't it? So yeah, difficult balance for you to strike. It's not like you can just say, cool, I'm having 3 weeks off and doing nothing, which most people would do.
Yeah, I took the usual like week of no training whatsoever, and then after that I was able to get started. Had a few sort of quad DOMs towards the end of my runs on the first couple back, but that soon eased. And yeah, I'd say I'm almost 100% recovered now, which is a nice place to be.
Here's a question. Do you find it easier to take time off and not make, say, like, quote unquote, running videos now that your channel is bigger and you have more sustainable income compared to when you were kind of growing and did you always feel like you had to put out a video? Or is it something that's never really changed or bothered you? You just take a rest when you need a rest?
Yeah, I would say definitely in the last sort of 3 or 4 months, as the channel's grown a little bit, I don't feel the pressure to keep pumping out videos. So, for example, I used to make 2 or 3 videos a week, and that was quite a lot of work. And as the channel has grown, I've been able to earn a little bit more money from per video type thing. So, yeah, like you said, I don't have that pressure at the moment of having to put out 3 videos a week, even if I do want to take some time off running like I did after Boston. So, yeah. Definitely have a bit more flexibility, which is nice.
Yeah, because that's a massive thing I've seen on Instagram with everyone, obviously, that did Boston, London, things like that. It's almost like a race for some like influencer people to like get back running, or like first run back. And it's like everyone wants to kind of be the first person to do it. Or if all your content is you out running and you don't have anything to do for a week, it's, you know, people are like, oh, what shall I post, you know? So
yeah, definitely.
I'm glad that you managed to take some time off. It's good.
I think for me as well, because as well as being sort of a running influencer, if you like, I'm also trying to train to the top level. So for me, I have to prioritize like recovery. If I jump straight back into running again, like post-marathon, then the risk of injury is really high. And then I'm not going to be able to make any content or train to the level that I want to. So yeah, it's getting the balance right. But definitely feel like I've done that this time, which is nice. But anyway, should we have a little chat about your trip to America? How are you feeling?
Yeah, let's do it. Shall I just jump straight into my week and then kind of when I get towards the end of the week, we can chat about it. It's probably the best way to do it, right?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Well, we'll just start with Monday, which was the 24th, because I go to America halfway through this week anyway, so we can chat about that. So Monday, I was still in Cambridge and did 9.35 miles at 6:46s, so just over an hour of running. I've basically done this same run, obviously not the same route, but you know, it's been 8 or 9 miles pretty much every Monday morning since I can remember, to be honest. And then doubled that in the afternoon with 4 miles at 7:34s, which included the short hills that I do. And by the looks of this map, I did the short hills over the railway bridge. It doesn't actually go over a railway, it goes over a car park, but it's at the train station, and that's like the worst incline ever. It's like barely even a hill. I don't know how I get away with calling it a hill sprint, to be fair. But yeah, just 5 times 10 seconds of those. And then Tuesday I had my final kind of tune-up session. I always do a similar-ish session the week of a race. So warm up, and then I had 3 times a kilometer, 2 times 600, 2 times 400, and then 1 200 to finish. These kilometers were at about 253, 254 for the kilometers. The 600s were at about, I think, 96. So what's that, 62? That's 62 through the, yeah, something like that. 96, 98, something like that. So like 62, 63. The 400s were in 60, and then the 200 was about 26, 27, a bit of a faster 200 to finish.
Nice. Going
Which,
through all the gears.
yeah, for some people it might seem like it's still a big, like a big session, but like over time, you kind of get used to what the volume is, and the intensity was reasonably low compared to what I've been doing. So yeah, doing that on a Tuesday and not racing till a Saturday for me is pretty manageable, and something that I tend to keep doing, especially because we're still in April and I want to still be racing if I can all the way through until August, dare I say it, you know, the first weeks of September. So it's important to keep training now and not worrying about your legs kind of still being a bit fatigued. I can be fresher later in the year. So yeah, that was a good session actually, and we had a great group for that. It was the Bucks, the British University Championships, the weekend just gone, so a lot of the Cambridge Uni guys and girls were down just doing their final tune-up session. So yeah, it was a good atmosphere.
One question I wanted to ask about
Go
the
ahead.
track you use in Cambridge.
Yeah.
How is it for like filming purposes? Because I had an idea for a video recently, but I'll pitch it to you in a second if it's possible. But yeah, what's the crack on like me standing there with a vlog camera? Do you reckon I'd get away with it, or is it a bit
What
strict?
in general, or do you mean at like this specific session at this specific time?
At this specific track, is there any rules or?
I'm honestly, I think there's technically rules. Like, I think I shouldn't. Well, if anyone's listening to this, don't kick me off. But I think technically I shouldn't just go down and use it on a Friday. They have like an online booking system.
Right.
And if you're like a member of the sports, like if you've got like a membership where you've got the gym and stuff like that, then you get the track included, but you're supposed to book a time slot. And often there's a little thing on the like in the car park that says, you know, bookings only or something like that. But I've been living Cambridge since June now, and I've gone down to the track pretty much every week at least once by myself, and no one's ever said anything. I might have cursed it now, but yeah. So in terms of if you were just like, I'm gonna rock up and film a video at a track, I think, you know, I'd like to say you'd be absolutely fine, but obviously you're
Yeah.
making a fair bit of travel for that, so you might want to confirm it in advance.
Yeah, that sounds good. Because the idea I had for the video is me jumping in with you in one of these sessions and calling it training with a sub 4 miler and just seeing like the difference between our abilities. I just think it'd be quite interesting. So, for example, you doing your 3 by a kilometer rep. For me, running at 253 per kilometer pace is almost flat out. So that's going to completely knacker me. Whereas you're probably feeling fairly comfortable at that sort of speed. So yeah, I just thought it might make quite a good video for myself, more of a marathon runner, to jump in with somebody who's more 1500 meter focused. I think it could make a good video.
100%, and we can do that anywhere, to be honest. Like, you know, we can meet a mutual location or whatever. But yeah, definitely. As the sessions start to get tastier as well, you can do a really hard one. That'll be good.
Could even collaborate the two YouTube channels, mate.
Maybe I don't know if that's the content that's going to go on mine. But any shout out from you, Ben, I'm sure I'll become a full-time superstar. So yeah, that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I flew to the States, so I didn't actually run in the morning. It was, oh, actually, I didn't run at all, did I? Yeah, I didn't run at all. Sorry. So Wednesday, I was supposed to run.
Right off.
But by the time I arrived and kind of just the travel and everything, I tend to not run on a travel day if I can
Yeah.
get away with it. And in this case, I was like, actually, I'd rather just put my feet up, get some dinner, than first thing I have to do is put my shoes on and go for a run. It's sometimes nice, more if you're going to like a warm destination or if you arrive in the morning. But if you're arriving in the evening, I just find, what's the point? Like 4 miles that could knock you out, and you'll wake up the next day feeling a bit ill, or you can just chill. So yeah, didn't run Wednesday. Thursday I ran in the morning pretty early, did 4 miles at 6:48. Where I was staying, actually, I've attached a quite a nice pic, dare I say it, myself, on Strava. Don Cabral, don't know if anyone's heard of Don Cabral. If you're listening and you've got your computer in front of you, you can Google it. Don was actually an Olympian. He went to London and Rio in 2012 and 2016, and my coach Nick is pretty good friends with him. I didn't know this at the time,
All
so
right.
just before I booked an Airbnb to go out and told Nick, oh, don't worry, I'm gonna book this, he said, oh, hold on a second, let me just message a friend. And next thing I know, I got added to a group chat with Don, and he said, yeah, we're away for the weekend at a wedding, so if you want to stay at our house, like, feel free to stay at ours. I turned up and it's like 14th floor luxury apartment, really nice. So
Oh,
shout out
nice
to
one.
Don and Vrushka, lovely people, thanks for letting me stay and raid your fridge for pretty much anything I wanted. It was Yeah, it was great. And this actually is underrated because often when I go to a race, like, especially when you're on a budget and I'm traveling by myself, I'll just stay in a hotel because it tends to be a bit more cheaper. You know, you're getting breakfast. It's just like the easiest way to do things rather than get a whole Airbnb just for yourself. But being here from Wednesday to Sunday, like the comfort level they added just to be 2 miles away from the track and have everything, be able to cook, be able to, you know, chill, you know, where you're sleeping, like you've not got noisy neighbors, all that was like something that I would definitely do again if I was going for like, you know, 3, 4 days plus to a race. I'd definitely try and opt for something like this over a hotel. So if anyone's in a similar
Sounds lovely.
situation where you're going for a race, I would look to do that. But don't reach out to Don and Vrushka because they're moving. They're not in Philadelphia anymore. So unlucky. So yeah, that was the morning, 4 miles, and then I did a easy run in the afternoon with Nick, my coach, because he arrived from Florida. So we did 5.74 miles at 7:21s. This is on quite a nice trail, just out and back down the river. And yeah, my shins were hurting quite a lot actually. I don't know specifically what it was.
Oh,
Maybe
strange.
something to do with the travel or what. I had they kind of they ache a little bit sometimes, but yeah, on this run I was like, oh, that's specifically pretty bad. So yeah, just did plenty of stretching, and it's normally connected to how tight my calves are, to be honest. So
Yeah.
yeah, that was all good. On Friday we are now, this was kind of my pre-meet, a little bit longer than usual, so I did 6.69 miles at 7:23s, but that's including the stride, so the running was probably a bit faster than that. It's probably close to 7 minute miling, and then obviously the strides have walks in between and stuff at the end. We had quite a good group for this actually. Turns out like Nick just seems to know everyone, and there were some people from that he actually, I think he went to, did he go to high school with them or elementary school? I don't know. He known them from when he was really young, who were also into running, and they were in the area either because they now live there or their high school coaches and their kids were competing at Penn Relays. So yeah, I woke up and there was like four people in the apartment and we went for a run. So yeah, that was pretty good. Very relaxed environment. And yeah, that brings us to Saturday, which was the day of the race. So for anyone that doesn't know, Penn Relays is, I didn't know about it until I went to America last year, but it's one of the oldest and one of the biggest like track meets in the world, essentially. You get a lot, it's big for sprinting and endurance races. All the best high schools come over from Jamaica for the sprint races, so they have a lot of, you know, prestige about them. Pretty much every pro that you know in America has won something or other at Penn Relays. You get a watch if you win, or you get this big wheel if you win one of the relays. It's like quite a novelty event that not a lot of other events do. For scale, this year, so the event goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so 3 days, and they had 91,000 people that went. So
Wow.
yeah, it's pretty crazy
More than
for
30,000 each day.
yeah, exactly, and probably more on Saturday because that's the finals day. Thursday's a little bit dead. But Saturday's kind of where everyone goes because you want to watch the top Jamaican schools race the top American schools in the finals and all that kind of thing. So
Yeah.
yeah, pretty big race. Luckily, I did it last year, so I was kind of knew what to expect from the crowds, where I have to go. If you go and race one of the professional races, which I was fortunate enough to do, you get this little separate room where they look after you and all that kind of thing. So you don't really have to like worry about where you're going to be. So yeah, got up and did just a little 10-minute shakeout, 12-minute shakeout in the morning, something I tend to do when a race is in the afternoon, just kind of wake the body up a little bit before I get back and have my breakfast and my coffee and all that kind of thing. So that was just 1.6 miles at 7:53 miling. And then, yeah, onto the race. So the weather was actually terrible the whole time I was there, like pouring down, windy. If anyone has watched that video that I posted, you'll see. But for my race, it genuinely, like, I couldn't have. Obviously, I could have asked for better weather, but like the weather was fine. I can't make any excuses with that. The kind of you saw the flags blowing, the flags dropped. It was very still. It wasn't too cold. You could kind of hang around 5 minutes before the race with just your vest on. So like, yeah, it was pretty nice to be honest. So yeah, warmed up and then had the race. Before I go into like the race and stuff, the sort of experience I'll touch on is just, you know, when if you're a professional runner and no professional runners will listen to this, so like. I'll
No,
speak as
you'd
if
be surprised, mate.
but I'll speak as if they're not here. It's like you don't realize how spoiled professional runners are. And obviously, when you've got to that point and you're at that caliber, like I'm not saying you don't deserve that because you very much do. And a lot of people are extremely humble, and it's just, you know, the treatment you get is just part and parcel of like the caliber of athlete you are. Like these guys are some of the and girls are some of the best athletes in the world. But just the experience of turning up, like how just conscientious all the staff members are of you. And do you need to go here? Can I look after you doing this? Like, let me know if you need this. Sort of when you're used to just rocking up to a race where you just get thrown your number and a few safety pins, and people just say turn up 2 minutes before, and you're sort of looking around, you know, which wet patch you're going to sit down on a bench. It's a real good experience to go here and be like, actually, wow, this is what they do. When you see them traveling around Europe or America and they're going to all these races and they're with a team and all that kind of thing, you know, to experience that and to be able to soak it in way more than I could last year, because last year I was pretty nervous and didn't really know what to expect. So to walk in with kind of a bit more confidence this year and be like, wow, like, you know, this is, if I work hard enough and get to a level where I could do this every month, every week, like what a dream that would be. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just felt really like, you know, I felt proud of myself for getting there, but also not nervous at all for the race. I was really just excited, sat next to kind of, you know, guys where I've watched them on YouTube for the last 5 years, winning NCAA titles and doing this, and thinking, wow, that person's run really well. And now I'm sat there and it, you know, on paper, I've got an equal chance to go out and do the same race as them and perform just as well. So yeah, I was really excited and really in a good place before the race. It was, you know, it was really cool to be there.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. I mean, some of the athletes you were lining up against, were any of them Olympians? I don't think. Has Mario been to the Olympics?
No, he's not been to the Olympics, but he was fourth at World Championships.
Beamish has done World Champs as well.
Yeah.
So that's some. Oh, well, and
oh
you've
no,
got Klecker as well. Yeah,
he's
Olympian.
An Olympian for 10K. Yeah, but just like the looking at what people do. You know, obviously you're focusing on yourself, but just seeing how people interact. And I say this, I think I said this on the last podcast when I went to World Champs for cross country, but the biggest takeaway every single time for me is how chill these people are. You never look and think, wow, he looks really tense, or he looks like he's really up for it, or he's dialed in, or whatever. Like, you know, it's not like sprinting. These people aren't like slapping themselves on the thighs before they're about to run, getting all pumped up. They're just chilling there, laying down, having a laugh and joke. Photographers taking a few pictures. You know, there's a TV screen in there. Everyone's watching the other college races and kind of like making a laugh and joke of it and stuff like that. And then everyone gets up about an hour before, goes to warm up. And then next time you see them is like, you're on the start line with them. If you know what I mean, it's very, you know, I think from an outside perspective, you expect it to be way more tense and way more like, God, I bet they have some weird pre-race rituals and all this kind of thing. But no, it's just what you'd expect. Sipping on a Morton bottle, you know, getting the spikes out of the bag, going out and doing the same warm-up that everyone else does pretty much. So, yeah, it was good. The race itself, you know, went really well. I ran 3:58, so I got a PB, which is fantastic. To get a PB in my first race of the season when I'm always going to be a bit rusty on the track is great. It wasn't really an outcome-focused trip. Really, it was more about the process of like getting out there, feeling all of those emotions, running in a great field that gives me some good exposure, and also just seeing, like, you know, how does it feel to run that fast again? It's been so long since I raced on the track. And honestly, like, I know I chat a lot of rubbish on this podcast, but when I say that, like, for three laps, even for three and a half laps, I was absolutely chilling. Like, I've never felt that strong or that good in a race, like, honestly, ever, to be honest. I was, you know, slightly near the back of the pack when everyone went off, because we were told it was going to be a lot faster than it actually turned out being. And it actually turned out to be the slowest I've ever gone through 800 in a mile. But to close the second half of the race in 1:54, which is exactly what I did in training the other day, and for it to feel like, actually, you know, I've, you know, come away pretty unscathed there. Like, that was really good. All I was lacking was a bit of better positioning and maybe, you know, a little extra edge on the final lap for a big kick. But I'm confident if that race had gone out faster, I'd be walking away with like a 3:55, 3:56 and be like, wow, like, you know, I'm in great shape. So no, in terms of confidence to take away, like, unbelievable from an experience point of view, and you just get a physical feeling sometimes when you're running. And I couldn't believe when I swung round the bend and saw the clock that it was that time. I was like, because I just, you know, when you feel like you must be running slow because you're so comfortable. Yeah. And I think that just goes to show, the more you're relaxed, you know, don't run with any tension, don't put any expectations on yourself. And going into that race, it's like, if I finish last, well, everyone probably expects me to finish last anyway. I'm the slowest guy in the field. So I think I just ran so freely and without any tension that actually, you know, I performed physically really well. So that's a thing that I know I'm not going to be able to do in every race, because that's just impossible. Like, emotions are always different, but that's something I'm really going to try and channel going forward. Just being like, look, just run. You know that if you could just get your body around 3.5 laps in by being relaxed, then you're going to run a good time, if you see what I mean. So yeah, no, fantastic experience. To finish fifth, not too far off the leaders, and, you know, beating some other good people, it was, no, a great experience, and I was really happy with it.
Yeah, really good run, mate. I watched the YouTube video back of the actual race. I was trying to watch it live, but I couldn't find a stream at the time. I did find this weird like Flowtrack live stream of like the warm-up area,
Off the
and you could,
paddock, yeah.
hear the commentary of the race in the background of this YouTube live stream. So I did technically listen to the race, and they gave you a good shout out. They said Callum Elson has come all the way from Cambridge, which is,
Yeah.
yeah, pretty surreal moment to hear your mate Callum racing at the Penn Relays, I must admit. And yeah, watching the race back, it looks like it went pretty much perfectly for you, apart from maybe getting a little bit boxed in on that last lap. It looks like you almost couldn't start your sprint finish when you wanted to, because there was a guy in white. I don't know what his name was.
Yeah, exactly. You hit the nail on the head, really. And that's I'm okay with that because one, I identified straight away as soon as I went over to Nick and was like, "Great PB." I was like, "Did you see what happened there?" And he was like, "Yeah, you're in a shit position." I was like, "Yeah, I know. I 100% was." Like, I pride myself on being able to start my finish from pretty far out. Like everything we do in training, me and Nick is like we call it snowballs, but basically it's like whether it's a 300 or 200, it's progressing the pace every 50, 100 meters, so you're finishing at your very top speed rather than you're dying out at the finish line, if you see what I mean. So when it's 200 and you can see in the race so perfectly from one of the angles, we're going around, I'm thinking, wow, this is relaxed. And I'm actually thinking like I could win, like I can finish really high up here, like I know I've got something left here. And Geordie Beamish makes a move. I'm right behind him on the rail. And I think that's why I was indecisive looking back, because I'm behind the guy that I thought was going to win the race. And I thought, what a position. Just stay here. Like, if you're behind him, you're
Who is
doing
that?
something behind Geordie Beamish.
Oh,
So I was like, if I'm behind him, I'm doing something right here. And then he makes a move where he kind of slows his speed and makes a kind of diagonal move from the rail and lane one out to kind of the outside of lane two and gives himself the space that he's then going to use when he comes around the bend to finish. And
yeah.
because I'd gone into the race with such a because I was ex expecting it to be so much faster and harder, I'd gone in with the mindset of right, your job is just stay on the rail, run the shortest line, and give it all you've got at the end. And I think in a couple of races time, with a bit of the experience already and kind of feeling of the track, and or when there's more on the line, like if it's a championship and there's no difference between you either win or you lose, basically you come first or second, I would have followed him and put myself in the position and backed myself more to be like right, just roll with whatever he's doing. And instead, in that split second, it's easy to say in hindsight, in that split second, I stuck on the rail thinking, no, the gap's going to open up. And like I said, like you said, sorry, the guy in the white, he was, he finished stronger than I expected. He didn't really die, and he just held his speed the whole way around, so I couldn't really get past him on the straight. And I do just at the end to sneak past him. But in another world, if that guy in the white starts to slow down a little bit more, I can sneak past, and then actually I'm in the driving seat because I've got lane one, I've run the shortest line, and I've now got a sprint finish. So yeah, it might seem to people at home like what a tiny little thing, and especially if you don't do racing on the track, you do 10Ks on the road or whatever it is, the nuances of racing are not as small. Like you're never really going to lose a road 10K because you didn't cut a corner really short or because you didn't, it's tiny little margins on the track, especially when you're running at that speed against people that you need every kind of millisecond you can get against them. So, no, the fact that I'm already analyzing it and I'm kind of really pleased with where I'm at, but I'm thinking I know there's more that I can do, is really exciting. And for the race I've got coming up, I'm hoping that they're going to be at a pace where actually it is going to be a case of sit on the inside and just race your heart out rather than having to think too much about tactics, because the whole summer for me is not focused on winning races. It's focused on getting, fast times. If I come last in every race from now until the end, but I've got faster times, then that's all I care about. So, yeah, it was a great day actually, and I actually managed to do a workout after the race as well, because I was, feeling fine, and we just thought we may as well get some more quality in while we can. So I just went to the river trail near the stadium and just did 4 by 5 minutes. It's not even tempo really. It's kind of a bit faster than moderate, 5:25 to 5:30 a mile. For context, I
Marathon
do,
pace.
you know, I, you, well, yeah, for context, I do tempo like around, 5 minute miling ish. So yeah, pretty moderate tempo, four
High
by five
steady,
minutes.
maybe.
Yeah, with 60 seconds rest. Plus a 5 minute warm up and cool down. So yeah, it worked out about a 5.5 mile or 5.4 miles cool down. So yeah, good to get some volume in. And post race, to be honest, it's kind of when I'm most motivated to want to do stuff. I always find the day after a race, I always, do a good long run or whatever, because I'm ready to, get after it, and I'm excited to do the next race. So yeah, it was a great day actually overall, and I've come away from it really pleased that I took the opportunity. I spent the money, I went and did it, and took the chance. And
And
also,
I think the
go ahead.
main thing, you've proved that you're at that level now as well. Finishing fifth out of 11 guys, beating the likes of Joe Klecker, just shows that you should have been in that race. Like you did the right thing to put yourself in that position. And yeah, like you said, if it had been a quicker race, you might have been coming home with a 3:55 or something insane, you know? So I think, yeah, credit to you for going over to America. Long trip for a 3-4 minute race. But yeah, it's clearly paid off. I look forward to seeing the next one already.
Yeah, 100%, mate, 100%. And it's you know what it's like similarly with like the content opportunities that you have, where you're having to pick and choose between what you're gonna do and what's gonna benefit your running, but also looking at different aspects. And there was some other good results that weekend over 5,000 and 5K and stuff. But when I look at what my alternative options would have been, I definitely made the right choice to go out and do that race. And if I'm in a much better place next year and I want to go and do it again, well, I get to email the organizers this time and say, "Hey, I'm the guy you didn't want to let in last time, but look, I outperformed your expectations. I did my job." So hopefully I can do similar types of races again. So that was great. And just a shout out as well to there's a guy that you should all look up called Eric Holt, who, if you're really into running like me and Ben, you will have seen videos of Eric Holt everywhere from last summer when he was fourth at the US Champs, because his interviews are just hilarious. Like, he just says exactly what he's thinking. The guy's pretty bonkers, to be honest, and he's just as bonkers in person. I've met him a few times now, but he actually reached out to me at the race, to come and say well done and stuff. And then he sent me a message afterwards, just saying like, you did really well considering these races and that and that. And just, when someone that you actually really respect as a good runner takes the time to, drop you a message or whatever, is, it's similar to Ben, I'm sure, when you reply to people that are not expecting you're going to reply on Instagram, and it makes their day. They're like, oh wow, 14 minute 5K guy messaged me. It's the equivalent for me to be like, oh, that guy actually took his time to reach out. And it very much, like you just said, makes me feel like I am starting to operate in those circles, if you see what I mean, and gives me that extra boost to be like, right, the people who have every right to be like, yeah, you're a bit shit, are starting to think I'm good, if you see what I mean. So it's, yeah, it's good.
Lovely stuff. Was that the last run you did in Philly? Or
No, I
did
did not.
you do a
I
long
just
run
did.
and on the Sunday as well?
I did a long run on the Sunday. It was only 11 miles, because it was just absolutely pissing it down. So I did 11.09 miles at 7:05s, so about 1 hour and 20. And I actually did this with Josh, who's from Cambridge. He was out working in America, so he came over to the East Coast before he flew home. So I ran with him and Matt Leach, who's a guy that runs for Soar Running, two 215 marathon guy. He's recently moved to New York, so he was over on the East Coast as well, racing at Penn Relays on the Friday. So yeah, did a run with him,
How
with
did he
those
get
two.
on in the in his race?
Oh, the conditions for it were so terrible. I think it was only one in about 14:15 or something. But when I say the conditions were bad, it was like cross country weather. It was
Yeah, really windy, wasn't it?
I didn't even go to the stadium to watch it. I just watched it on TV, and I was a mile away. So that shows you how bad it was. But yeah, that was my week. I think that was Sunday, right? Yeah, and I flew home Sunday evening. So yeah, good week, good
Solid week.
experience, and yeah, nice to be back racing again. They're going to come thick and fast now from here on out. So yeah, it was good to get the first one done.
Not a bad season opener, eh? 3:58 for the mile.
Yeah, all good, all good. Do you want to fire through your week?
Yeah, I'll start with my week. When did my week start? It says
Monday.
here, yeah, it didn't start on Monday though. I think I took the first 2 days of the week as complete rest. Yeah, I did. So after, as I was saying in the intro, after Boston, took basically 10 days of no or little running, and then I started with a 90-minute Steezy run. I've called it. I think this was on the Wednesday. I could be wrong here, but the 26th of April. And yeah, this was on one of my local loops that I'd not run for a long time. Well, it felt like a long time, probably only been like 2 weeks, but. Having been to Boston and been all over the place recently, it feels like I've not been training on my local routes for a little while. So it's nice just to get out there. The weather was really nice on this day as well. Sun was out. All of the fields around my local area have sort of blossomed. So that was nice to just run amongst amongst the flowers and all of the nature that was out there on that morning. So that was 90 minutes steezy. So in between my easy and sort of tempo 4:06 per kilometer. Then on to Thursday, which was my first session, mini session back. I typically would do 3 by 10 minutes at threshold for a Thursday workout, but I decided just to do 2 by 10 minutes. My body was feeling ready to work out after the run the day before, the 90 minutes of sort of easy running. But I decided not to just jump straight back into full training, play it a little bit on the cautious side because I don't really have any like big races coming up. So there's no need to rush things getting ready for like, I don't know, a half marathon in a couple of weeks' time. I just wanted to be conscious of making sure I recovered. So yeah, 2 by 10 minutes at threshold effort, which averaged 3:21 per kilometer for the first set, and then 3:20 per kilometer for the second. I don't really have a set pace that I'm going to run these sessions at. That I do them very much to feel, and I've got written here in the notes, legs at around 80%. So starting these runs, my legs feel absolutely fine, but then towards the end, I was starting to feel a little bit of fatigue in mainly my quads. But yeah, that's to be expected 10 days post Boston. Then on to the evening, I went down to the track for a bit of a double threshold day. And I again did a bit of a reduced session, 12 by 400 meters, which typically would be 20 by 400. And I averaged 73 per rep. So just a little bit slower than 5K pace, but actually felt pretty good. My watch died during the session, which wasn't ideal. But yeah, managed to just about record, I think maybe the first 7 reps. And then I just had to do it by feel, which is a little bit of a strange feeling. So I think the reps are around 73, but they could have been a little bit faster, a little bit slower. Always nice, as you said, to go down to the track, see some of the guys who are also doing sessions, even if they're slightly different to the ones you're doing. So that was nice. Then on to the next day. I'm a bit confused what days these are now, but I think this was on the Friday. I've just done a 10 miler in the afternoon. Listened to the Inside Running podcast, and I was wearing the ASICS Superblast. And as if you listen to their podcast, they're currently sponsored by ASICS. So they it was funny that they were talking about this the ASICS Superblast while I was running in them. I thought it was a bit of coincidence anyway, but yeah, nothing really else to report. Again, nice to be on my local loops. Then on to Saturday, I went down to Parkrun. So this is now 3 days post my double threshold day. So I took 2 days easy after the first session's back, and then I went down to Parkrun and did a bit of a threshold effort. Again, didn't really know what sort of pace I was going to be running at, but averaged 3:11 per kilometer, 16:05 for the Parkrun. So legs have definitely recovered a bit more, considering the threshold pace on the Thursday or the Tuesday was 3:20 per kilometer. So it just goes to show as your legs freshen up, so does that speed comes down, which is always nice. And then after the park run, I did 10 by 200 meters just to try and get my legs moving a little bit faster. It felt a little bit strange at first to be running that fast. For me, that's sort of my top end speed. I had a look at the stats, and quite interestingly, my top speed that I hit in these 200 meter reps was 2:28 per kilometer, which is exactly what Callum averaged for his whole 1500 meter race, which just puts into perspective how fast you can run, mate. If I can hit it for maybe 2 or 3 seconds, and you can hold it for just under 4 minutes,
Yeah,
so
to be fair, you did probably have trainers on and you're on the road, right? So
yeah,
I'm sure you can run faster than that, like on a track with spikes.
true. But that just put it into perspective a little bit for me. And then on Sunday, my last run of the week. Oh no, sorry. On Saturday evening, just did a 30 minutes easy recovery run just to shake out the session before my long run on Sunday, which I actually took a trip down to Southend on Sea. A few of the guys that I do long runs with or have done long runs with in the past were doing a long run down there. They usually travel to me, so it was nice for me to travel down to Southend. Lovely little route along the seafront. The weather was really nice actually. The sun was out. I actually got a little bit of sunburn on my forehead, from this run. It was only 10 degrees or something like that, so I
Oh
didn't
my
think,
God.
oh, I need to put sun cream on. But I think we ran into literally into the sun for about 45 minutes. So I guess that's quite a long time to have the sun rays beating down on your head. But yeah, that was a 20 kilometer long run, easy pace. We had a huge squad of five. I was joined with Seb and Luke from Chelmsford AC, and then a couple of other boys tagged on, which was nice. Yeah, for 95 kilometers for the week, which yeah, for first week back, I will certainly take that. Yeah, any thoughts on that training week, Cal?
No, it's good. It's good for you to be back. I know, obviously. So, was that the Sunday or the Saturday of the South End run?
The Sunday.
And then, is it Monday where you did the race?
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? You had a pretty easy week. Got a little bit of turnover and stuff in, which, you know, it's like I think with a lot of things, there's some stuff that obviously just looks stupid. Like, if someone does something, you can be like, okay, there's no way that you should be doing that. But a lot of stuff when it comes to recovery is about how you personally feel in your body, both. Whether it be running and how like your legs and muscles feel, but also just your general level of fatigue and often like your mental appetite for running. And I know some people that actually after a big race or after a long season, they don't actually want to run. I know after kind of cross country season, I actually quite liked just having a week off where I was like, I actually don't really fancy getting up and doing a run or doing a double, or I like just being able to enjoy my day knowing I don't have to go out later and do a run. Whereas now I'm in the thick of it and I'm, you know, really enjoying training. I'm like, right, when's the next thing? Or, you know, what extra things can I add? That sort of bit. So, yeah, you know your body well. And if that's the level of kind of rest, but mixed with a bit of intensity that you wanted, then, you know, you can't say fairer than that.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I'd definitely be one to say, listen to your body during sort of recovery post marathon. For me, after Osaka, my body was really beaten up, and I needed 2 weeks of pretty much doing nothing to recover. But after about 3 or 4 days post Boston Marathon, I already started to feel that I was coming round quite quickly, which yeah, was unusual. Probably the quickest recovery I've had from a marathon. But yeah, like you said, just take each day by day. And as you just said there, I did do a race this Monday. So we'll talk about that next week on the episode. But yeah, just a bit of a spoiler. It wasn't a race effort. It was more of a longer tempo type thing. So yeah, kept a lid on the intensity, but nice to get the body moving again this week. And looking forward to building things back up. Ahead of some track races later in the season. I'll be moving towards sort of more 5 and 10K races in the coming few months. So no more marathons until maybe November, December time, possibly early next year. Going to focus on some of the shorter stuff, try and bring that 5K track time down a little bit.
No, that's good. I know we got a lot of questions. Actually, it seems like it's a changing tide for a lot of people where they're looking at doing some 5Ks or 10Ks, or no one really wants to marathon train or do them in the height of summer. Quite a lot of messages about these sort of distances, which we can cover next episode for sure. Maybe we can do a couple on this one. But yeah, two good training weeks from us there. An update from Tom. This is just me guessing, by the way, but he's not done any running. He's not actually given us an official update, but I believe he's in good spirits and he's been busy with loads of other work-related things, whether it be in his own job, but also, you know, all the different brand stuff and trips. And he's been in Germany doing this and that. So he'll fill us in with that on the next episode, I'm sure. And we can do a bit of a 2 week special catch up from Tom. Sorry,
Sounds good.
my WhatsApp's dinging. Cool. Should we jump into some results before the questions?
Yeah, I think so. Let's do some race results, some general running news. First race of to really mention, probably the biggest one in the UK running scene, I'd say, was the Comeback 5000. It's always quite a good presence on social media. And Zach Mohammed took the win in the men's race in an impressive 13:47. He improved his PB. And he basically ran the last 2 kilometers on his own. I don't know who the pacer was, but he did a cracking job. Took him to about 3K.
Yeah, Charlie, I think it was Charlie Wheeler who has run 13:31, I think. He was actually
Wow,
supposed to be
okay.
racing himself, but decided to pace. I think he's delaying his racing a little bit. But yeah, Charlie's a great runner himself, and yeah, paced that really well.
Yeah, he looked pretty comfortable. And then yeah, finishing up the podium, Ben McMillan. He came second in a painful 14:00. I think that's always one of the worst times to see when you're looking at results is he didn't quite break that 40-minute barrier. I don't know if he's done it before, but it's
Yeah,
always.
Ben's run. I think he's run 13:50, and he's really good miler actually. He's run 3:57 or 3:58 for the mile.
Oh, there we go.
But yeah,
So he won't be too bothered about that
well, I'm sure he will be pissed off. It's a long way to he's a Scottish guy, so it's a long way to go down to London to only, well, I say only run, but I'm sure he will have wanted to win, if not kind of get a PB. But for all these guys starting your season with, 13 minutes, 40 minutes, is they're not going to worry about that, I don't think.
then. Yeah.
Whereas Andrew, that you're about to mention, Andrew Milligan, that finished third, I actually went to university with Andrew, and I know that he's not broken 14. He ran 14:01 a couple of weeks ago, and now he's just run 14:02. So
Oh, unlucky.
that's like absolutely brutal position to be in, but no doubt he'll do it, I'm sure.
Definitely. But yeah, that was the men's side. On the women's side, interestingly, a lady called Katie Axford, I'd not heard of her before. She won the ladies' 5,000 meters in 15:48. I don't know if you've saw any of the story about Katie, but she used to be a ex-professional hockey player for GB or for England, and this was her first 5,000 meter track race anyway. And yeah, she overcome Jordi Jerek of Belgrave Harriers in 15:52, who came second, and Amy Griffins of Aldershot and Farnham District came third in 16 flat. Again, just narrowly missing out on that sub 16 barrier. But yeah, a little bit of an interesting story there to jump from one sport to another. Sounds a bit familiar, that.
Shout out to Keith Schofield and Lloyd Kempson and the people that organized Comeback, because while it's not a perfect event, and I know there's a lot of things that people wanted to kind of change about it, they are leaps and bounds above most track meets in terms of the coverage that they give it, the how they're trying to make a bit more of a party atmosphere and stuff like that. So I think with the right people and the right support and the fields growing, like seeing that Zach's run a great time next year, I'm sure it'll attract more people. But I think it's still on YouTube if people want to go and see the kind of things they did with the commentary and the split screen and all that kind of thing. So yeah, that was
Yeah, did a very good job.
a great 5,000. I know the only kind of problem was what we're going to go on to next, which was it was the same weekend. Well, it was a Friday, and on the Sunday was the English 5K Championships, so the road championships, which was incorporated as part of the Mid Cheshire 5K. In fact, this might have even been on the Friday night. And yeah, that kind of splits up some athletes who, Jack Gray, who ended up winning in 13:59, and I obviously trained with Jack in Cambridge, and he sort of won ridiculously easy, really. He ran 13:59 and pretty much was by himself. I think the next guy, he ended up about 5 seconds behind, but I know Jack had taken his foot off the gas a little bit. But someone like him would have been a great addition to the 5,000 meter field, I'm sure. But when you're offering up a national title, as being an English 5K champion, then you're kind of like, that's sounds a little bit better. So yeah, that'd be the only thing with that I would critique, is the timing of the events. Ideally, you want to choose a weekend where there's not much going on and you can get everyone down, if you see what I mean, rather than split the fields. But well done to Jack for that, and well done to Ellie Wallace, who won the women's in a 15:39. So again, very similar time to what the 5,000 was winning, 15:48, 15:39. So I'm sure she would have been interchangeable in both of the races. But yeah, both of those become the kind of English champion for 5K, if you will, and they get an automatic entry into something called the Home Nations 5K, I think it is, for Team England, which I don't know if they have it in the same place every year, but last year it was in Cardiff. I did it last year, in September, I think it was. So yeah, at least they get a nice little kind of prize for it, which I think is pretty good. It gives an incentive to go and do the race. You get to represent England in a future race. So yeah, really, really good, that one. And the final race result I've got written down is just a couple of quick mentions from the British University Championships, which again is a great event. The coverage is very average, but for people that go, and if you've ever been to a Bucks Championship before, it's a great event, especially if you go to a university that's any good at running, because you get a lot of people that win, and it's a good night out afterwards. But some notable mentions are just people that train in my group in Cambridge. So Angus Harrington won the men's 800, which was a pretty good field actually that he beat. Jeremy Dempsey got second in the 1500, only to be beaten by Ben Pattinson, who won. Did he win bronze at Commonwealth Games? Or I don't know. He was in the
Yeah.
Commonwealth Games final. So not a bad guy to lose to. And Neve Bridson Hubbard got third in the 1500, which was probably the best race of the three to watch, actually. It was a really good sprint finish between the three girls. So yeah, there's a million and one events at Bucks, and we obviously could mention everyone, but they're the only three people I know that did well. So shout out to them. Oh, one more actually. Tom Bridger, 3,000 meter steeplechase. He got second for Birmingham. He's also in the group, albeit doesn't train with us too often. So yeah, shout out to those Cambridge-based people.
Not bad. Good showing.
Congratulations. Yeah, and that's all the race results I've got for you, Ben.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We might have missed a few. I think there was Cardiff Marathon as well. For some reason, that popped up on BBC Sports, but there wasn't really any performances there that I thought were that impressive. So it was unusual to see that covered on BBC Sport. But anyway, other news this week, Tori Bowie, an American 100 meter runner, who won the world title in 2017 and won three medals at the Rio 2016 Olympics, has unfortunately died this week at the age of 32 in her home of Florida. Yeah, not really heard much more about it since the news broke. The cause of death hasn't been released, but yeah, always sad to see somebody who competes at the top level of the sport pass away at such a young age. So yeah, thoughts go out to her family or anyone who knew Tori. Some sad news that hit the athletics world this week. And the final piece of news that I picked up on was Nigel Amos, the Botswana 800-meter runner. He got a silver medal in the London 2012, so he's quite a noticeable figure. He
He's the
tested
he's
positive.
yeah, he's the third fastest ever 800 meter runner in like that's existed for context, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, so he's a big dog. And he's been given a 3-year ban. It was meant to be 4 years, but he has admitted to taking the prohibited substance, so they've reduced it to three. But it does mean he won't race until 2025 now. So I wouldn't expect him to be too competitive, given he's getting on a bit there. But yeah, not great news in the sprinting world there.
Yeah, it's just, well, it's 800 meters, isn't it?
800
It's
meters,
like,
sorry.
yeah, it's like, it's just crazy to think, like, we could do a whole podcast on this, but the guy will always be known as the third fastest ever. Have you seen what I mean? Like, I hate the fact we have to make the assumption that that time was clean and that he's only been doping afterwards. Part of me, and don't quote me on this in case I ever change my tune, don't dig this episode up, but part of me does think, like, if you get caught doping, you should have everything stripped from you. So any time that you previously had, it should be like, yeah, that time doesn't is written from history. If you see what I mean, because he'll forever be known as third fastest, or obviously people could beat the time, but that gives him somewhat of a legacy. And it's only some people that are going to add the caveat of, oh, he was later caught doping, or he later did this. And similarly with the prize money that he took from people, the medals that he would have taken from people. I'm sure someone that finished fourth at London 2012 will be thinking, oh, I wish I could have got a bronze medal. That could have changed their life in terms of the exposure they're given, the amount of money that they would have won depending on what country they're from. So yeah, disappointing that that's probably the third or fourth episode now where we've mentioned someone else that's been
Being popped.
that's tested positive. So yeah, not good.
Not good. But in some more positive news, we've got some good listeners' questions this week that we're going to quickly jump into. I'm conscious to try and keep this episode a little bit short because it's only the two of us and just a bit of a catch-up episode. But yeah, some good listeners' questions come in this week. The first one I'm going to jump into is from Alexander. He said he's recently caught up with the latest episode of the podcast, but sadly can only listen to us once a week. So his question is, have we got any podcast recommendations that we listen to that we would recommend? I don't know if he wants running ones or just more general ones, but yeah, any that come to mind, Callum?
Well, if we're talking about running ones, shout out to the Inside Jogging podcast, which won't be to everyone's taste. I think it's very, if you're international, I don't know how well you get along with it because it's proper British humour, or I find it is anyway. But yeah, I think they're great. They've run respectively kind of 2:14 and 2:15 marathons or something like that. So they know they're running, but they basically just talk about all kinds of bollocks, to be honest. It's pretty good listening. It's similar to this in a way. So that would be my kind of running recommendation. But I don't really listen to many running podcasts, honestly. I listen to stuff about all kinds of different stuff. And one of my favorites is called How I Built This by Guy Raz. You can get it on Spotify, Apple, anything like that. And it's basically interviews founders of all sorts of different businesses, and just tells the story. And they're often pretty crazy stories about how they came up with the idea, how they built the business. And they do ones for really cool brands like Five Guys and, you know, American Airlines, all these kind of really global companies. And it just, I just find it really entertaining how they start in such like ridiculous ways, or why Five Guys is called Five Guys, or, you know, why they do this or why they do that. So yeah, if anyone's into non-running related things, then that would be my podcast recommendation. Ben?
Yeah, I think that's a good recommendation. I'll definitely give that a listen. I like the business side of things as well, so that sounds like it could be up my street. But my podcast recommendations, I do listen to a lot of running podcasts, and not really any other type of podcast, to be honest with you. My favourites at the moment are the Coffee Club, run by the OAC boys over in America. Unfortunately, they now have a 1-0 on us after Callum's defeat to Geordie Beamish, but I mean, we kind of both knew that was going to be coming our way. Never mind, but nonetheless, a great podcast. And I also want to give a shout out to the new Trackstar podcast. They interview Jack Rowe. I listened to that this morning whilst I was on the treadmill. And yeah, Lloyd again, the guy who organises and commentates at the Comeback 5000 Meters, does a really good job on that podcast. And that's probably the most insightful podcast I'd say I'd listen to. From a running perspective, it's only 50 minutes long. All about Jack's career, signing with Puma, the training that he's doing to get to the top of the game. And yeah, I thought that was a really good listen. So yeah, that's a good one to give a listen to, Alexander.
Jack's also probably like the best looking guy in the running world as well. So any ladies out there, watch the video version. That's what I'd recommend.
Is a good looking guy, but he said he doesn't like social media, so you might not see too much of him. But he said since he signed with Puma, one of the downsides to being a professional runner is kind of the obligation to become an Instagrammer type thing. So yeah, interesting listen. Give it a listen, if you can't listen to an episode of our podcast.
Yeah, another question, which is, I think I'll take, is from Carter, who wants advice on finding a coach. He says he's a former Division One high school sprinter who's transitioning to long distance. He's got a half marathon in a month, and then he's hoping to focus on some 5Ks. And he's basically struggling to create his own training plans for his needs. What does he suggest for beginners for how to kind of take it up a notch and find a mentor or coach? And I think this is a great question. I actually posted something on my Instagram today about ChatGPT. I use a lot with my work of how I can prompt ChatGPT to give me certain answers. And I thought, oh, I'll try it out with running and just see what it could give me. And I've found that if you're really detailed with what you want, the type of mileage, any injury history, the stuff it gives you, like, is very good for a beginner. If you're someone that doesn't have the finances to pay for a coach, or you don't like the idea of someone telling you what to do, but you want some guidance that you can pull from sources all across the internet, genuinely, like, ChatGPT is useful to get an idea of how you can train. What I will say is, obviously, it doesn't replace a coach in any way in terms of the feedback that you're going to get, how it's going to be adjusted for your specific needs and things like that. So it does highlight how important the athlete relationship is. So if you're trying to find a coach, and Carter, this is, you know, basically what you're trying to do is don't just get coached by someone that you think is good because they're a good runner, would be the first thing. So just because they've run fast times, don't think they're going to be a good coach. And second thing is, find out how they can specifically help you. So there's no reason that you can't ask for, you know, do you have any ideas about this? Or what would your approach be towards me building up to a 5K? Or do you think it's possible that I could build up to a marathon by the end of the year? Or, you know, ask them questions within reason, because anyone that is going to be a quality coach and is going to be with you for a long time and want to actually support you and invest in your running will find the time to answer for 15 minutes over email or Instagram messages or whatever it is. Anyone that kind of gives you a cold shoulder or doesn't give you a detailed response, I would say, okay, how, oh, sorry, I would say, okay, how serious are they going to be as a coach, and how much do they actually really care? That's, you know, what I would say. So yeah, focus on the relationship, and obviously, you know, if they've got the knowledge and the experience, that's, you know, a bonus. But really, you're probably looking for someone that can hold your hand through it if you're a brand new beginner.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Ben?
No, I think you nailed it there, mate. Obviously don't have a coach, so I can't really speak from that point of view. But what I will say is when I was very much a beginner and looking to improve my training, I just watched a heap load of YouTube videos on how to train for 5Ks. There's some great videos out there. You can also find some training plans online, which most of the time are pretty decent. What I would recommend is maybe having a look at maybe like three or four different training plans, and then trying to see what you can implement in your training. But the main thing, if you are a beginner runner looking to improve your half marathon, is just be consistent with your training. If you just stack weeks on weeks of training, then you'll naturally progress quite quickly. And yeah, one thing I did, final thing I'll mention on that topic, is I followed the 10% rule in terms of overall volume. So, for example, if you ran 50 kilometers last week, then try to increase the volume to 55 kilometers, and then after 55 kilometers, again increase by 10%. And if your training ever feels like you feel like you're getting a bit too fatigued, or the volume's getting a little bit too much, then go back to the previous week. And that's what I did when I first started running and tried to take my training a little bit more seriously. So yeah, hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And yeah, obviously Ben doesn't want to give himself a plug for once, but Ben makes loads of videos about how he's improved with running and top tips for this and sessions for this and all that kind of thing. So no doubt you can stumble across some of his videos, which would be good.
Definitely. Yeah, but it's like you said, they don't replace a coach. So yeah, maybe you want to have a look at getting Callum a coach. There you go, free shout out for the both of
Who knows? Who knows? Should we do one more question?
Yeah, I think so.
And then I think we have a couple of listener shout outs. For anyone that's listening that doesn't get a shout out, because of just how busy we've all been and obviously the fat Tom's not here this week, I am aware we've got about 20 messages on Instagram from people that replied with a thing they've done that's funny or good or cool or whatever. So for the next episode that you listen to, I'll make sure that we include as many of them and we'll do a dedicated listener shout out section. So yeah, we're not ignoring you. Apologies for that. So final question is from Alan, who recently finished a proper marathon block and he ran a new marathon PB at London. Congrats, Alan. Big Al. There's a couple of months until he starts another block of training for the end of September. What should he do in the meantime? What I would say is if you've got your heart set on the marathon, oh, you're starting the block of training before the end of September. Okay, I'm going to take this as the marathon is in September. That's what I'm going to take this as.
Yeah.
So what I would say is London's just been and gone, so you need to just chill. Hopefully you've been chilling since then. I would prepare your body and condition your body in the best way possible to start before your marathon. So think of this as a base before you start the marathon block. So get yourself into a good routine, a good level of fitness, get some miles into your legs. And really, if the block starts in September, there's not that much you can do. Kind of, if the block's going to start a couple of months before September, there's not that much you really can do in that time. If it's the other way around and your block is starting in September, so for example, your marathon might be in December, then you've actually got quite a few months until then where I would really focus on working on your shorter distances. I would go back to basics. I would do 5K, 10K type work, focus on your leg turnover, reduce kind of not necessarily your mile time, but try and work on getting your 5K time down and become a more efficient runner. So when you start training again for the marathon, then, if let's say you've been running 4 minute kilometers for your 5K and your marathon pace is therefore going to be 5 minute kilometers, hopefully you'll be more efficient at running at that slower pace. But yeah, it totally depends on the specifics of your question, I guess, Alan. So sorry for the confusing answer.
Yeah, I think you nailed it again. Couple months until his next race. Yeah, if I were Alan, I would just be focusing on, like you said, building a bit of a base, focusing in on maybe getting my strength and conditioning program lined up, so that when it comes to starting that new marathon block, you're ready to go. But yeah, that's some good listeners' questions there. But take us on to a few listeners' shout outs before we wrap up this episode. The first one I want to give is to a guy called Mason. He dropped us an email saying he is chasing a 19-minute 5K, and his race is on May the 7th, which is in 3 days when we're recording this. So yeah, best luck, Mason. Hope it goes well for you. Let us know how you get on, and we'll hear about that in the next episode. And the second listener shout out, this is quite an interesting one. So we got an email from a company that I won't actually say the name of the company because we don't want to give them a free shout out. But they basically offer meals that you can basically, I don't know, they send you the meals, chuck them in the microwave type thing, and then you've got a nice good quality meal, I guess. But anyway, they asked, can they sponsor the podcast? And I thought, okay, I'm all ears. Let me hear about the company a little bit. And their offer was, they would give us 3 days worth of meals, which are valued at £90. I had a look on their website, £30 each day, in return for the sponsor of two episodes. What are your thoughts on that, Callum?
Just, I think it's actually worth clarifying, just for your sake, Ben, because people that follow you will have seen you actually work with another company. It's not that one, just to clarify. It's not, Ben's not bad mouthing the people that he already advertises. I mean, people of this podcast, you know, I'm a bit of a chef. Tom's a bit of a chef. Ben, I don't know if he's a bit of a chef, but I'm sure he lives with three others, so someone in that house is cooking some good meals, I'm
He
sure.
used to be a chef, mate, before the YouTube days.
There you go. So, you know, whether we actually need that and whether a couple of microwave meals are worth, you know, the lovely listeners having to listen to us talk about them instead of our, you know, casseroles and all the nice things we're making, I'm not sure. But if this company, if you're listening, all right, and it wasn't just a spam email, then, you know, come back with another offer and maybe we can talk. And if listeners have got any ideas about how we could collaborate, you know, if you want to see some kind of microwave meal business going on, let us know and we can have our own limited edition run it three ways spicy chicken korma or something that could go out.
That sounds good. Yeah, I think I had the similar response, to be honest with you. Didn't really seem like too much of an interesting offer, but yeah, as you said, if they want to come back with it with another one, then maybe we'll take it up. If next week's episode is sponsored by a microwave meals company, then you'll know why.
Yeah, or if my new YouTube videos start getting, if the next series, rather than being powered by Saw Running, is powered by this microwave meals company, then you know I've taken the offer.
Yeah, sounds good. Anyway, just a reminder, if you'd like to submit any questions to the podcast, you can do so via the email runitthreewayspodcast@gmail.com, or chuck us a message on Instagram, and we will get back to you. Be interesting to hear what people had to say on the Instagram for next week's episode. So yeah, apologies we didn't get around to doing that. But I think that pretty much sums up this one. Bit of a shorter one this week, but yeah, anything else to add, Callum?
No, lovely episode. Thanks again for people that are listening and tuning in. As much as we joke about sponsorship and stuff, we all are always sending each other in the group chat the numbers of people listening, and it's going up and up. And you know, we've been hitting some good numbers recently, so it's really good. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and I know we always say this, but we are thinking about getting some guests. So bear with us on that one, and yeah, see you in the next episode.
Sounds good to me, mate. All right. See you again next week.
Have a good one, Ben.
Bye bye.